Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome into the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is middays with Rick and John, but they are not in today, so they brought the weekend crew in. One member of Team Have, co-captain of Team Have Not, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, hanging out with you.
No.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to bring our weekend drama today, okay? So let's just get that out the way. We go back and forth, and we're not going to do that today, okay? The Team Have Not, I'm here just like you are, okay? And it wasn't because they didn't have anybody else. We were, you know, We were told to be here. You got me, Mark? Yeah, we were told to be here.
I was told it was me or Benedict. I don't know. So, there we go. What? 10:01?
Like I said, it's too early for that, man. It's too early.
Oh, don't forget, stream us online. It's 929thegame.com. We'll keep you up to date with everything going on in the world of sports.
Specifically.
You will get replays of this illustrious broadcast. We're not trying out for anything, right?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure I didn't miss memo on anything. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame. You can also follow the show at Rick and John. You can follow him at RandyMac81. You can follow myself at JMCH316, all on Twitter. Don't forget, download your – I did say at 929. We got the memo that said we had to say all this kind of stuff. See, Paul's in my ear already, and we're 2 minutes into the show, and I'm already getting yelled at.
Just watch yourself. All right? Just do it right. Do what's required, okay?
It's a whole nother world on these – weekday stuff. So, lots to get into with you today. As we said in the handoff, Kevin Butler, isn't his Twitter name Butthead? Isn't that kind of what he goes by on Twitter? The real Butthead. Yes. Thank you, Mark. Mark Owens, Paul Bible, by the way, all in studio with us. So they're behind the glass. We got all the regular team havers to make sure we keep this thing on the rails. So,
when you're here in the daytime,
yeah,
on a weekday, that corner office will swing that track that 4 feet from his office into theirs.
Well, he's not going to be today, so.
Well, no, we still got an hour. We still got 2 hours.
It don't matter. I'm here for one day. It don't
matter. I dare you.
It doesn't really matter. So, now that it's football season, they don't need me. So, but
that's why you're here. We need you today.
Well, yeah, that's because basketball's taking.
We're happy to see you.
No, it's good. It's good. Oh yeah, yeah. it's all good. So.
3 hours and 57 minutes.
Yeah,
we got this.
Yeah. Trust me. It won't be anything like Rob and I's Sunday show. We've kind of really adopted a whole new persona on our Sunday night after the Falcons.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I heard a little bit of that in the car Sunday. I was going to the Publix to get me some chicken.
Yeah.
And it's literally a half a mile from my house to Publix, not even that far. And I almost drove off the road because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, it's the Cerebral Assassin Rob Tribble. We're produced by Brian the Dragon Gebhardt. And, of course, I'm the Georgia Rattlesnake Stone Cold Chuckery. So,
we go right there.
Yeah. The power trip. Remember when Triple H and Stone Cold were together? They had all the belts. They had the tag team, the world title, and the Intercontinental title. So we're the power trip. You all right over there, Randy?
I'm good, man. I'm just getting all my notes and stuff together, man. Got a lot of lot to talk about with the Falcons. You think it's a must-win, which is ridiculous. They just need to win. And
so if they're 1-5, that's not must-win.
They must have won the Pittsburgh game or the Saints game. I mean, they're supposed to win those games.
So 1-5, you feel good.
I didn't say I felt good. I said it's a must-win every week. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I agree with you. Okay. And we'll talk about that in the next segment about the Falcons. But I agree with you. This whole idea of it's early and it's only one game here. They all start adding up.
Yeah.
Season's a third of the way. You realize the NFL is a third of the way through already.
Yeah, I got you on that one. I completely got you on that one. But, once again, we'll get into that at 10:20. But, they just got to play better. That's the ultimate thing. I mean, it's not a miracle or, some kind of quick fix that you can do. Just play better.
Yeah.
You play better, you win, no matter who's out there.
Right. I've been saying for weeks, the guys you have
Play better.
I mean, that's all it is. Especially 42.
That he's leading the way. Goodness gracious.
When Dan said that they were having some guys stay late, you think 42 was?
Oh, he's out there. Yeah, he's out there. Good gracious! And that, just when you were giving him praise, then it wasn't a good look.
No,
it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit rough, but you know, Falcons need to win this weekend, and that's what's up.
What the is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
There's a long way to go. We've got to win some games, but you can't win, you know, more than one a week. So our focus has to be on just taking care of business this week, trying to find a way to win, and playing our best football Sunday.
Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, he's out there sharpening iron.
Yeah.
He's got his Hunger Games index high. My new saying for the Falcons, by the way, is all gas, no wins. That's kind of where we're at right now.
That's where you're at. But, I mean, he's right. It is a long season, but at the same time, you just pointed out you don't want to go 1-5 after this week. I mean,
this is
an important game because you've gotten all your division home games are out of the way after this week, and you've lost one and you've won one. So you got to find a way. They've had so many home games, opportunities to win games so late in the game, and just haven't come up clutch, man.
Well, Randy, you said it. You have no more divisional home games. If you lose this weekend, you got no more divisional home games. That's two division losses.
Yeah.
That's three conference losses in your first six games. So, like, all the time – because right now, you know, and I'll pick on Fricky a little bit, that, you know, well, the Falcons are only one game out of Tampa Bay for the season. No, there's six teams ahead of you.
Right.
You're 13th. The last playoff spot is six. Falcons are 13th in the NFC because of tiebreakers.
And I'm so sick of, well, you know, in 1988 and 2006, this team started 1-5, made the playoff. That is the last thing that the Falcons are worried about right now.
Right.
They're worried about getting a win because you can't start a win streak until you get a win.
Right.
And they have got to find a way to get that done. You got a good opponent coming in town on Sunday afternoon that, you know, you match up well against. You know, if you want to look at it, you got our guys versus their guys. You know, you still have your starting two corners. They got their big play wide receivers. You said the guys who are on the team right now are the ones that got to step up.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, last night, Hawks preseason action.
How about that?
Good to hear Steve Holman back.
Bang!
Mm-hmm. Hawks, was there any defense played in that game?
No, there hasn't been any defense played in the preseason. I mean, I was looking at the scores. It was like a 140 to 126 game last night. But, this team is going to be fun. They're young, and they have some players that have a possibility of being box office like Trey. And that was a big shot. I mean, he shot it from Roswell. I mean, he pulled up, and he wasn't scared to shoot it. And good for them, man. I mean, you can tell what they're trying to do, but it's still a long way to go.
I think it's very important being able to know how to handle these type of situations. It's a long season, so we have to, I mean, be able to know how to handle these type of situations, like I said. And I think this is good for us, playing against a really good team in the Spurs. And, I mean, this is just one game. We got to get back to work. We got to fix some things that we didn't do well and get ready for Miami.
Talks rookie Trey Young out there. Are they going to play any real regular season games in McCavish, or is the plan that everything will be open and ready to go at State Farm?
Well, I know I was here last week and got a chance to talk to Steve Kuhn, and I think he was saying the 24th, I think, it officially opens.
Okay.
So I don't know when they'll be able to get in there, but it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, the new State Farm arena is going to look like. I'm excited to see it. I mean, you know, I probably won't make an appearance in there, but, you know, I'm excited to see what it looks like on TV.
See it on TV, right?
Yeah, see it on TV and see how it
looks. See it on TV. Hawks did win 130-127 over the Spurs in preseason action last night. Baseball playoffs get started coming up Friday. L.A. will be in Milwaukee. Who are you rooting for at this point?
I can't root for anybody. I mean, my Braves are done, but I'll tell you what, the ALC, that's what you want in the AL. You want it Houston versus the Red Sox.
Oh,
I think that's just perfect. Yeah. Now, the Dodgers, Brewers, I mean, I think it's going to be a pitching just duel when you talk about those two squads. I guess I'll go for the Dodgers. I mean, my wife's a Dodgers fan, so I guess I got to go.
Oh,
over.
Is she?
Yeah, I mean, she's from L.A., so I guess I'll just go for the Dodgers.
I didn't know she was enough of a sports fan to be a Dodgers fan.
I mean, she's not a sports fan. She's an L.A. sports fan.
Okay.
Like last night, she said her Lakers are on, and I'm like, well, you know. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so she.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, whatever L.A. team, that's her squad.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So she going to, like, have Dodger gear on or anything like that?
No. She locked down.
She wouldn't do like me, go get a Dodger shirt.
No, that's just you. You're just a bandwagon jumper. You know, every week you come in here on our Saturday show, College Football Game Time, with a new team on your T-shirt, and they always struggle or lose when you wear it.
I was so ready to go buy a Florida State shirt. I was so ready.
Why?
Just to poke the bear.
At least you get one of them purses that he won it back, too.
Wow.
That got to be the corniest thing in college football.
I'm rooting for Milwaukee. I hope Milwaukee wins the whole thing.
Really?
I'd love to see a team like that. Yeah. I can't. I mean, the one team, like, I will tell you, when it comes to sports teams, there is nobody I loathe more than the Red Sox.
I mean, a lot of people like that. A lot of people are like that. I mean, it's not even just the teams, the fans.
It's, you know, everything.
It's everything in that area right there. I mean, you hate the Patriots, the Celtics. I mean, because they all, first of all, they always damn winning.
Right.
I mean, that's one reason why they hate them. And their fans are just the most annoying ever. But when your teams are winning championships like that, don't you kind of earn right to be annoying?
No.
Why?
No, because, you know, they got David Ortiz, big phony. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that his name?
What did Big Poppy do to you?
What did he do to me?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Mr. Steroid Guy? Oh. But they're clean. Bronson Arroyo's quote, I wouldn't have passed any test that they gave me.
So you're upset because of steroids?
No, I'm upset because everybody acts like they're this good. They were a bunch of Reuters when they were all winning. Okay. They got more positive test guys than anybody around. David Ortiz. It's amazing when the questions got hard how the English all of a sudden wasn't there anymore. It's amazing how that works. No habla inglese when the questions started to get hard for a big phony. And David Ross, and I know that's Mark's guy, screw him too. Because he was all mad when Nelson Cruz got suspended for steroids, then was served a suspension, and then was able to come back in the playoffs. I think it was with the Orioles.
Yes.
Was able to come back in the playoffs. You were part of – you were on a franchise that was the biggest group of Reuters of all time. Who the hell are you to talk about anybody coming back from roids? Manny, Ortiz, Arroyo, Johnny Damon.
Okay. No, okay, Checker, just calm down. We get you. When you start going off in that rant, we just, you know, just let it go. Let it go. L-I-G.
Let's get to our code word.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Well, the code word for this hour, because you can win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest, the code word for this hour is engine. Engine. E-N-G-I-N-E. I like the way Paul put this in big block letters so I could read it. Very clear on there. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Engine.
Tell me the number where you're texting it to.
Like the Falcons need to get that engine started. Can we maybe make a Dan Quinnism with the engine or something? So you've got till 10:59 Eastern time here to text to 72. You got text engine to 72881 from your cell phone. 72881 is the text number that you want to send the word engine, E-N-G-I-N. One more time, the code word for this hour, engine. Text it to 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive. For complete rules, go to 929thegame.com/. Rules on all that.
Hey, Chucker, did you see what Jimmy Butler did? Are you upset with him about that?
No.
I don't. I mean, because it wasn't it like, you know, a lot of stuff coming out of Minnesota that those two cats are kind of soft.
Now, how cool is it, supposedly, he took the third team and beat the first team?
I love it.
How awesome. To me, that's awesome.
But that shows them that they need him because Absolutely. He was on that squad. He wasn't right. on the first team.
No, that's what I'm saying is that yeah. Jimmy Butler, the story that goes is Jimmy Butler was not happy during Wolves' it's his first practice back with the team. And, of course, there's a lot of rumor swirling, Randy, about him being traded away. But that was so great. Supposedly, he took the third string guys and led them and beat the first team.
I like it. I love it.
I think it's great. Well,
and then he called out Thibodeau and the GM. Y'all need me? Y'all blanket need me? Yeah, y'all do. Because they're terrible without him. They're soft. S-O-S. S-O-F, capital T.
When we get back, the playoffs start this weekend for the Atlanta Falcons in Mercedes-Benz. We're going to talk about all that next. It's Randy McMichael, John Checkery, in for Rick and John today. First, a CBS Sports Minute.
And it wasn't because they didn't have anybody else. We were specifically.
I was told it was me.
We were told to be here. You got me, Mark?
Specifically.
Yeah, we were told to be here.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do a little yacht rock today? We get a little yacht rock feel?
I like it when you're here.
Yeah,
a little throw a little yacht rock in. I'll throw a little Motown.
Excellent.
And for Randy Mack, too.
Good stuff.
Randy Mack. I'll play something like this. Tricky Ricky.
This is a danger. You think he could name this band if you gave him four guesses?
He would just call it Yacht Rock.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios today, hanging out for Rick and John, Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you care to interact with the show. So Randy McMichael, as we are your flagship home for all things Atlanta Falcons. Coming up Sunday, Falcons home with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their last home divisional game on the season. Of course, we'll have all your pregame action at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1 o'clock. Of course, you are company man now. You are part of the Wait For It tailgate show beforehand. So, and Randy, you know, I say that the playoffs start Sunday for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, teams that start 1-4, Randy, which the Falcons are now since 1990, make the playoffs 7% of the time.
Okay.
So I know you don't like that term must win, but I don't know how this is anything but a must win game at this point.
I mean,
because you're paying for all the sins of earlier this year.
The must win because the next one you play. And I always look at like, and this is just my opinion. People would definitely disagree with it. I think there's no one week bigger than another. I mean, in this early in the year. What I mean by that is you got to find a way to get into a rhythm to get wins. And everybody in that stat you just gave out, people are throwing that one out. Then they're throwing out, well, this team was 1-4, but they made that's irrelevant right now. They need to damn win a football game. Mm-hmm. That's what they need to do. Forget everything else you just said and all that. They need to win a football. They don't need to think about the playoffs. They need to think about Tampa and finding a way to get a win against a team that they should beat. But we said this last week, said the week before. All right? They are not getting it done in the areas where we're thinking there's supposed to be improvement there.
See, this is why, as a Falcons fan, Randy, and I am actually a Falcons fan, this is why I like the Philadelphia game. Frustrates me because that's a game you should have won with the backup quarterback and the injuries and suspensions and everything that Philadelphia had. Look, Minnesota needed to get a win last week too, and they found a way to go up there and go get themselves a win. I don't like when people tell me the season's young and it's just that you only got 16 of these.
I always say that you're guaranteed 16 of them.
Right,
you guarantee that.
So this idea that well, it's early and this, that, and the other, you can't keep digging holes because. Now, after this week, no matter what happens, there are no more home divisional. So every divisional game from here on out, you got to go on the road.
Right.
Now, you know, you start talking about type, and I'm not talking about the Falcons, talk about this. This is me as a fan. You know, when you start projecting from 35,000 feet above ground and you start saying, okay, like we need a win, it gives us a divisional win, it gives us a conference win. It's all those kinds of things. Because right now you're three back in the division already and you've only played five games.
Correct.
And that's part of it is because too Carolina hasn't played. They had a bye week already.
Correct.
So they've had a week off. You know, at this point of the season, meaning that they've played one less game out there. But to me, the Falcons. I mean, this is a two-game playoff right now. This week and Monday against the Giants. Following Monday against the Giants, these two are again they're must-win because to me 1-5. And we're looking at the second week of October, our season's pretty well done.
And I've been in a predicament like this a couple times as a player that this part, when your backs are against the wall like this, because you don't want to have that feeling that you're, you know, calling your wife planning a vacation in October, it sucks. That's why I'm saying these players are not worried about all that. They got to worry about this week. You got to get a win this week. And you said the 2 week, I mean, they got the Giants coming in the following Monday. That's another winnable game. I mean, there's no game on this schedule the upcoming schedule that's not winnable. But there was the same thing in the previous four or five games that were winnable. The Philadelphia game was there for you. You tackle a quarterback that's not Cam Newton, Drew Brees, you tackle him, game's over. You sink under a corner route, game over. I mean, there's so many situations, and we always talk about this, JC. Winning and losing is usually two or three plays.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And if the Falcons are not making those two or three plays when they need to make that play to win a football game.
Yep. And Randy, as we've talked about, you know, I'm over people talking about injuries because now you've had multiple weeks without guys to figure it all out. And what I always say, Randy, is Monday through Saturday is where I trust Dan Quinn to put the roster together, to find the players that you need, to coach those guys up. Monday through Saturday, I'm all in on Dan Quinn. And this is where he's got to shine. Because the guys that you have, you need at some point Vic Beasley to have a three-sack game.
Correct.
At some point, Trufant needs to make an interception. At some point, 42's got to make sure he knows where to be on the field and wrap up on 3rd and 13.
Correct.
You know, those kinds of plays, when you're – and I'm sure you've probably been on teams – when your margin for error
– is so small.
Is so finite.
Mm-hmm.
Because – if you're talking about, you know, if you're thinking about playoffs and you say, well, it starts this weekend, you know, think about it. Just to get to 500, you've got to play what, 7-2, or what? No, 7-4 the rest of the way, and just to get to 500. Mm-hmm. And right now, this team doesn't feel like a team that could go 7-4 over 11 weeks.
And this is the thing. They haven't given you a reason to believe that. And you're absolutely correct. And I said it last week, JC, when you're – it's nitpicky, but if you're in the Cincinnati game, you got to get the ball out of Andy Dalton. Great play by Vic, but you got to get that ball out.
Right.
True, you got to catch that
right.
football.
Right.
You got to make that play. And he had another opportunity last week. Make the play. You see what I'm saying? Because just like you said, do you know – that if you make that play in the end zone, you know that the bleeding stops. Yeah, it was a great play. Knocked the ball away. Catch it.
Right.
Catch it.
Well, even take like last week. We talk about the 3rd-and-13 play for James Conner. That's a big swing and a miss.
Tackle him.
But go on the opening drive. I don't have – you know, people are all mad because they ran that wildcat. I'm not mad you ran the wildcat. They made the first down. The problem was you better know how to line up
exactly.
on that play. So you took a penalty, and then Matt gets sacked. Now you're punting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that. Like right now, Randy, this team can't go from – hey, we're driving right down the field to now we're punting it away, and we picked up our first down, and now we're punting it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of things that when you talk about a couple of plays here, a couple of plays there, that completely changes. Because then you gave the ball back to Pittsburgh, and they went right down the field, and now all of a sudden you're 13-0, and you're like, oh.
That quick.
Yeah.
That quick, because it's always something. You look at the special teams. I mean, you were texted during the game. Don't tell me about communication on a punt team. Your guy just got beat.
Yeah.
He got edged, okay? And I've been on the punt team. It was a punt team with 4 years out of my 11 years. You don't get edged like that, man. You don't. You're going to give up a block punt. That's what happened.
Well, think about
it. It ain't communication.
Think about where special teams is at this point. 2 block punts in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Who's returning punts? That's your guy.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Mr. Yard and a Half return guy. Randy McMichael, John Chuckman, the Key Studios, hanging out for Rick and John to talk some Falcons with you. But that's another thing where, look, at some point, I need a punt return from this guy. I need a big play from somebody. And then I get kind of what happened. Can't take that 15-yard penalty for Russell Gage. I mean, those kinds of things just kill, I mean, you know what I mean?
That's that line right there that you're
exactly,
talking about. That's that line where you're like, we can't do that.
Dang,
because
Russ.
it seems like it's every week. It's like, man, we can't have that. And it happens in every game. But when you're fighting for your lives, you know, as far as trying to get a win, those are the plays that always set you back.
And the other thing I said, Randy, that kind of funny thing, you know, Pittsburgh bailed the Falcons out a couple of times in that game last week. Like, they bailed them out. Like, there were a couple of drives that were about to stall. Like, that roughing the passer penalty on T.J. Watt, I mean, we got one there.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're like, I was like, whoa.
Damn. I mean, you go, you wiped your brow, and you're like, whoo. And then they had a illegal contact, 5-yard illegal contact.
Yeah.
That gave us a first down on.
Yeah, I mean, they gave you plays to get back in the football game. You just didn't take it and capitalize it. And what Pittsburgh did was something that you might see from Tampa, because I said it. If you can protect Matt, he was going to eat him alive. But the
right.
thing would happen. It would kept happening Sunday. Okay, when he was protected, they weren't. They missed. When he was, I'm sorry. When he was protected, he was able to get something going. But that one delay blitz would throw off the whole thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
the one delay, I mean,
right.
they had the green dog blitz that happened on Coleman. That happens a lot when you go to block your guy who's covering. He comes, and he got mad. And a couple times they were bringing the week number 4. That happens. But every time it seemed like when the Falcons do it to somebody, possibly, they'll convert. The Falcons don't.
Now, I have 2 quick questions before we get out of here for you. First question is, I keep asking this question, and I know Freeman, I'm sure he'll be out for multiple weeks, not probably one. Is Sarkisian better when he's only got one feature back and then can just sprinkle in an Ito Smith?
It seems like it, doesn't it? It seems like
I mean, we keep saying this. We keep saying this, and everybody keeps trying to tell me, no. And
because it's hard to say you don't need good football players on your squad. But,
sometimes the less you think of what do you always say? Football's easy?
Coaches make it hard.
Right.
And we talk about the play sheet, the free box. Now, he doesn't have to use that. And Coleman, you know, when he's the feature guy, he plays better. Because I wasn't sure how they were going to use Free last week. I didn't know he was going to be the start and all that and get the carries that he did. And I know our guy Big Jarvis, he tweeted out, he just didn't look like himself.
Right.
I mean, he was still a little shifty. He just didn't look like
himself.
Well,
he hasn't played.
And he hasn't played. He's
right.
a little rusty. And now it's another injury. And, you know, that bruised foot. I mean, it's all about pain threshold.
Now, my second question to you is, I know people don't like this question, but when you are missing personnel, more than just I need guys to step up, but do you have to change some things and be a little bit more outside the box defensively, whether that's blitzing or whether that's coming up with something different, a little bit more hair on fire mentality when your defense has been they've been dreadful.
I got exactly what you're saying. Dan has a philosophy. They have a program up there at Atlanta. This is who we are. And right. It's hard to steer away from that because these guys have been in there. But the guys that you're having in there haven't been there long, so why not change it? Because what that does is it puts you at more risk. If you got guys out
absolutely.
There, you know, it puts you at more risk
like
now.
When you put Isaiah Oliver on Antonio Bryant?
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. But what happened? Every time AB was uncovered, what happened? Ben threw it to him. It was a big play. Every single time he was single covered.
When they missed the first touchdown, a good play by Oliver. What did they do? 2 plays later,
went back at it. Went right back at it.
Same exact play.
But yeah, that's the only thing. You can change and all that, but you'll be the risk is giving up a lot more.
Time to read between the lines when we get back. Mark Owens.
Coming up next, Vern Lundquist talks about, despite all of his years of broadcasting, it was Shooter and it was Happy that really made his career.
Does he remember where he's at? Oh, sorry.
Hey, you leave Uncle Vern alone.
We'll explain.
Hey, we're back in the Kia Studios. Randy McMichael, John Chuck, we're filling in on Rick and John this afternoon till 2 o'clock. Still plenty to come with you. We're going to talk to Kevin Butler a little bit later on in the show. And by the way, we are going to take one of our weekend staples and incorporate it into this show. We will pick Randy's brain at 1:20 today. But right now, it is our brave superstar, Mark Owens, as we read between the lines.
Yeah, if Randy rolled his eyes any harder, he may have passed out.
No, because I don't like the fact that I wasn't talked to about doing it.
Consulted? You weren't here for the rundown meeting.
Dude, 85 was, trying to get here.
Got to get up earlier.
I'm just glad that we're on Watch 99 The Games. Everybody who's watching you guys this morning can see your reaction when you found out that you had a specific segment today.
Yeah, as long as he got that paragraph.
Are we on the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at him.
Knuckle deep.
Yeah, he's knuckle deep in his nose right now.
All right.
Read Between Lines are brought to you by Dixie Vodka. You can join Johnny Michaels on Saturday. Bench Warmers just off Claremont Road. He'll be there from 3 to 5. A little bit of a watch party for Georgia and LSU with Dixie Vodka on Saturday. Bench Warmers off Claremont. Get to the Falcons. Mark Juan Manuel talks about KZ doing good and maybe moving him around in the position.
KZ's doing a good job, man. When you take in all the consideration and all the factors that you had him at nickel, now he's going back to play free safety, and a combination of, he's playing it full time now. We're going to see his talent at times. Continuously, he's learning new things every game, and that's the good part about it, understanding of what he has to take ownership in and what he has, and that is first communication. The second one is making sure that he, on the middle of the field, just like we always talked about, and the same thing that Ricardo always did, make sure that we get the guys on the ground.
At least he catches the football.
Yeah, he makes plays. He's a playmaker. Now, you saw the one touchdown he gave up. It was on the seam route. Ben got him. And he jumped on the sluggo, and that seam was wide open. And, it's a play that every team runs just out of different personnel group, and then he jumped in it. But, he makes plays. And he's gotten to a point where he is getting a little bit more comfortable back there at the free safety spot. My only thing with him is, as aggressive as he is, I don't want him to tone it back. But between him and Poole, I say this all the time, they're so, like you said, all gas, no brakes, that they're going to cost your team some time because they lead with their head every single time they come to tackle somebody. Yeah. Every single time.
A couple weeks ago, I don't know what Tyreek Poole was doing.
Every single time they're coming with their eyes down in there. But, we know one thing about him. Now, Ricardo doesn't have his outstanding athletic ability, but – he's not going to make a lot of mistakes back there. If you beat Ricardo, you just beat him. And they're trying to get KZ to that point where if you're going to beat KZ, it's just because you just made a better play than him, not because he's out of position anymore.
You good? Yep. Yeah. All right. Cool.
We're back, Mark.
I thought you were going to keep going a little bit. All right. Let's continue on with the Falcons. Here's Dan Quinn. As y'all just talked about, how big of a game is this against the Bucs on Sunday? Is this a must win?
We're all in for this week. And that's where our focus is. That's where our lies. I think if you look too far down, it could really jam you up. For us, it's about this game, this moment, as we're going after it, and we are going after it.
I think the term I heard was own the moment, I think is what the latest bumper sticker was own the moment.
Okay.
It was fine.
What did we say? If the players are buying into it, don't matter what we think, does it? Matter one bit.
Right.
And then I'm sure that it gets more sound where a player might say own the moment. And it's right there in front of you. And I said it earlier, you can't worry about what's going on next Monday night or what they're doing in New Orleans. You got to take care of Atlanta first. It don't matter how far back you are. If you don't win, you're going to keep dropping. That's what I said. The most important game is this one. Is it a must win? Yes, a must win because it's the next one in front of you. You don't think that the Carolina game was a must win or the New Orleans game was? They were all must wins, but this is just, what do you call it, all gas, no brakes? Yeah, because you got to get it done this week.
Can I tell you the other – narrative that I'm tired of, and I'm going to speak for myself because this is a lot of fan thing. Dan Quinn's not going to come out throwing things and
that's
yelling.
That's not what he does.
Right.
That's not what he does.
Because people are like, oh, we need more emotion. That's not how Dan operates. And it doesn't matter how Dan operates out in front of the media or whatever. None of that matters. Yeah. I don't care about what I need Dan Quinn to do is, because this bothered me. So 2 weeks ago when we had the ball against New Orleans, yeah, we didn't go for it in the first half. Then we're on our own 20 with 18 seconds to go, Randy, and we're five wide in shotgun.
Right.
Okay, that's the things that gets me.
Right.
And timeouts and clock. Those are the things that this is why I said, love Dan Monday through Saturday.
Right.
I'm not the biggest Dan guy on Sunday.
But no, because this is what I look at it as is, you know, those, well, we're going to go for two right here, or we're going to take a knee right here, stuff like that. And then you look at the final tally of the game, and you're like, damn, if only I did that then.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. And you see that a lot during this season.
Yeah.
Damn, if we did go for two right there, if we didn't go. You know, it's so many of those moments also when you talk about this game. And defensively, and when we were talking about the scheme and all that, you were talking about why they don't be aggressive. And my man Eric was talking about other teams. When you talk about a New England and Baltimore and all these other teams that are being able to make adjustments on the fly, well, you got a lot of players that have played a lot of football,
right,
that are veterans that know how to adjust on. You still got guys up here that's trying to learn the basic concept of what the Falcons are trying to do on the run. So, yeah, it's going to take some time.
I just tweeted out at Rick and John 99, Chuckery and Randy Mack, hashtag own the moment till 2.
Yes. So that, yeah, is that our motto for the day?
We're going to own the moment.
Yeah.
Well, till 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
2:01, we're done.
And then y'all will never see me.
Until next time there's a station event that we're not invited to.
Exactly.
All right, Falcons place kicker Matt Bryant sat down with John Fricke talking about the bad start and if the younger players look to the vets for inspiration.
No, I wouldn't necessarily say so. I mean, the key for us, though, is to worry about today. And, you know, and Q tells everybody that because that's the only thing you can control is what's going on today. I mean, it's are we 1-4? Yes. Does that stink? Yes. But there's nothing we can do about that. It's can you get better, you know, at your job today?
Is it incumbent upon you, Matt Bryan, and all the other guys who have been around for a while? The team does get, because of the injuries, a little bit younger, a little bit newer. So the guys that come into the Brotherhood or the guys that are new to the Brotherhood, for you guys to kind of impart all that wisdom and that knowledge?
Yeah. I mean, I think the older guys at each position, you know, are helping guys through. And even the guys that are hurt are still in the building talking to these younger guys. And so that's the main thing, in my opinion, is no matter what your record is to be the best at every rep that you have.
You're itching, I can tell, Matt Bryan, for that one shot. Let me win the game. Put me out there.
That's sometimes your job is to go out there and kick, hopefully, you know, kick 10 extra points in a game. And sometimes maybe it's to sit on the bench for the whole game and you go out there 3 seconds and make that one kick. I guess my job description changes from week to week. Every chance I get to go out there, I'm going to go out there and perform my job the best of my ability.
Matt, did you know that, you know, I covered you at Baylor when you were in the Southwest Conference?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Let me tell you, here's what I'll say about all that.
Okay.
We were talking about all the things going wrong on special teams.
Uh-huh.
When that guy leaves this franchise, there's going to be a big hole to have to fill. And I know you're just saying it's kicker and all that.
No. I mean, no.
That dude's going to be a tough guy to replace on this franchise.
Oh, yeah. I played with Matt in Miami because when Lindo Mari, our kicker, then got hurt. And Matt was just money. And then he went to Tampa. And we all, I mean, we you know, when they released him, when Lindo came back, we were all like, that dude's like, he ain't bad, mm-hmm, man. I mean, this dude, he's so clutch. And you look at it, it just, when it's on, when it's needed, he makes a play for you. And I say this all the time. I would like him to be one of the lowest scoring kickers in the league because I want the offense to score more touchdowns.
Right.
Let him kick extra points, not lead the team in kicking field goals. But, yeah, I mean, Matt's been around a long time. And, of course, these young players are out there. And the one good thing about the Brotherhood and all that stuff is that Deion and them are in the building. They are trying to help them out. But they're not on the field with you. All right? You're not. You got to go make that play. Dan can't make it for you. Marquand can't make it for you. All they can do is just give you the play. You the one got to go execute it.
Yeah, and we were talking about guys that there. Look, Randy, even if you didn't have injuries, you were expecting more out of certain guys on this team anyway. I mean, injuries are not the you needed Duke Riley to be better no matter whether anybody.
I mean,
those were guys that we've talked about all offseason that, hey, man, these are guys that if we are going to the Super Bowl, that have to step up and make their plays.
Yeah, and you listen to Hugh, and Hugh said it, or I think it was yesterday he said it, was talking about these guys, when you're talking about you coming to the season, yeah, Duke was listed as a starter, but at the same time, he wasn't going to play starter reps. You know what I'm saying? Right. When a team went to their base package or the 12, he would probably be in on that. But as far as it's a passing league and you're in all this nickel defense, no, he wasn't. They weren't anticipating him playing this many plays. I don't care what you say about the whole offseason and he has to show up. They were not anticipating him playing this much. And a lot of guys on that front.
Real quick, Uncle Vern was on with the morning show. You can hear it at 92.9thegame.com. And despite all of his success as a broadcaster, he said what made him most famous? Happy Gilmore.
I think most people have found their way over to Happy Gilmore. He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives and his amazingly bizarre behavior.
That movie, Happy Gilmore, is the gift that keeps on giving. It's on television at least once a month. I get a residual every 4 months, guys. Usually it's in the range of $3.60. But what it's accomplished, because it is so popular with college kids, is give me a connection across two generations. I get questions about it all the time. I was accidentally involved. We filmed it, my part of it, in one day in Vancouver, British Columbia, 22 years ago, and people still talk about it.
Well, you know, Vern, do you remember when we had drinks at Limelight? Vern, you remember when you and I were hanging out at Studebaker's?
Then leave Vern alone, man.
Studebaker.
Because they're terrible without them. They're soft. S-O-S. S-O-F, capital T.
And John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're back in the Kia Studios filling in today for Rick and John as they're going to be at the new and improved State Farm Arena taking a tour today for the Atlanta Hawks new arena's getting ready to open.
Yeah, and they got to dress up. So I guess Hugh's on the way back home right now getting his grown-up clothes.
Picture
and everything.
Day at State Farm. So all the guys are going to be down there today checking out the new digs for the Atlanta Hawks as they're about to open soon. It's Randy McMichael, John Chuckry, we're with you here till 2 o'clock, so we got the full four with you.
What do you think the vibe's going to be down there when it first opens? Because usually when stadiums and arenas first open, it's like, you know, everybody wants to get in and see it. I mean,
I think the only thing is just because it's not Phillips Arena at State Farm, I know now.
Right.
But I think there's enough things that they've been hyping for a while with the barbershop and
Dave Matthews Band. I know I say that every time, and Paul gives me that look every time.
What's the bar? What is it? Jackie Brown's bar or whatever.
Yeah, that
whatever.
Guy.
Yeah, whatever it is. So Dave Matthews. I think there's enough things that will be there. So there's this little game taking place Saturday at 3:30.
Yeah.
In Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline. We're joined by Brody Miller from NOLA.com. He's going to help us preview the Bulldogs and those Bengal Tigers. Brody, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. How you guys doing?
Well, very, very good. So let's talk a little bit first about this team in LSU. So last week, obviously, the hiccup against, maybe a better than advertised Florida team, at least at this point. But Joe Burrow certainly did not play well, his toughest game that he's had there. And they've kind of gotten by with Joe Burrow. You know, it's not going to get easier this week but by any means. What is kind of the ceiling at this point? Can Joe Burrow help to win a game in a game like this, or do you kind of have to game manage around him?
You know, it's become this thing that we spend so much time thinking about every week of – how is Burrow actually? You know, it's really hard to figure out. And the more I think about it, the more I really think he's the one making things work while everything's going wrong completely around him. So I think at the end of the day, the offensive line has been, against any good pass rushing, been frankly, a massive, massive issue. Gary Danielson actually, in a piece, pointed out really intelligently that basically LSU has to operate its entire offense based around never getting in third down pass situations because they flat out can't handle a good pass rusher like a Florida or a Georgia will have. And then you got receivers dropping passes, and then you got so many guys sitting back in pass protection because the offensive line is such a problem that you're sending less receivers out downfield. And I think at the end of the day, and this is just my opinion, a lot of people disagree, but I think Burrow's the one making things work while everything goes wrong around him. You're not making a mistake. The Ole Miss defense is pretty porous. So I'm not saying that's something to make a big deal of, but the Ole Miss game was the first time you ever saw him have time in the pocket, and he had one of the best games in LSU history, compiling over about 400 yards of total offense. You know, I think he's done a great job evading pressure. I think he's done a good job making quick decisions. And I mean, he was 17 of 21 and going into the final 8 minutes of that game. So, I mean, he has flaws. He's not a great downfield passer. He could definitely make some adjustments with just kind of how he handles some of this pressure on him in the backfield. But I think Burrow's doing a pretty good job. And the main thing with him is he doesn't really ever make a bad decision. He threw his first interception of the season this past week, and that was in a 2-minute drill where he had to take some risks. So I think the ceiling's relatively high for Burrow. I just don't know if the ceiling's high this year considering those offensive line issues.
Well, with that being said, how surprised are you with the production that Nick Brissett is having? A guy that coming into the season, you really didn't know what you were going to get from the LSU running game considering the fact that you just lost Geis and Fournette in back-to-back years.
Oh, I will eat my words. I wrote, I think, one or two different stories this August about, hey, LSU doesn't have a great running back for the first time in like 25 years. Hey, none of these guys are really going to be, more than just kind of solid backs. And I've eaten my words. Nick Brossette has really made some, like, because as I was saying, the offensive line is a bit of an issue. They're solid at run blocking, but it's not amazing. And Nick Brossette has made some plays out of nothing. He's had guys in the backfield and making two of them miss to get those runs where you make two guys miss to get a 4-yard run are some of his best successes. Nick Brossette and Clyde Edwards-Helaire too, to give him a little credit, they've both definitely impressed me and proven me wrong while dealing with some tough situations.
Rhody Miller joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, LSU beat reporter. He's on NOLA.com. You can check him out on Twitter too. He's at Brody A. Miller. Brody, is this a matchup of the two best secondaries in the SEC?
Ooh, that's a good question. Especially after just the latest injury to Alabama's defensive backfield, I think that's probably a good assessment. LSU, I can't speak in too much depth about Georgia's, haven't watched as closely as I'd like to, but LSU's is pretty darn good. We always knew Greedy Williams was one of the best corners in the country, But in Grant Delpit always had potential, but I don't think anybody besides LSU can confidently say they expected Grant Delpit to become this guy. And now all of a sudden he seems like a consensus top 10 pick in the 2020 draft if he declares in a year and a half. I mean, he's basically operating like a safety, linebacker, defensive end. Like, he's doing everything for this team, and he leads the team in sacks and interceptions and tackles for loss right now. Yeah, and then you got him, and then you got some young guys aside from Greedy Williams, a cornerback, Christian Fulton, who, somebody who was a 5-star, huge prospect, but had to go a year out of football because of his suspension with a drug test issue. So now he's back, and he admitted this week to us that he's kind of rusty to get his sea legs back a little bit, but he's getting there. He had a great game against Ole Miss, and you're at a point with this defensive backfield, you feel like they're starting to get some depth, and they're about 5 or 6 deep, which the Ole Miss game was the best example of.
Brody, you've been covering this team for a while, and one of me and my partner here, John Chucker's favorite players in the country is Devin White. Where would you put him as far as greatest linebacker in LSU history? Because we know they pump him out, but this kid, he is just on another level of special.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I haven't really thought too much about that, but, I mean, he's one of those people I'm not afraid to just say I just have a fun time watching play football. Sometimes we don't just enjoy things enough in this job. He's just fun to watch because, man, he flies around. He's intelligent, which is probably the main thing that separates him. I mean, he talks with us about how, in the off season he's going over Dave Aranda's house and just spending time there watching film together, just them two. He's basically Dave Aranda's assistant coach on that defense. And so you combine that intelligence with that just ridiculous athleticism. And then one thing he really addressed this season was, okay, maybe in past years he wasn't getting inside the A-gap hard enough. He wasn't kind of blowing up fullbacks well enough. I think he's improved on that this year. But to answer your question, I think it's him. It's you know, it's Brady James. You know, I think it's right there in that top three or four in terms of LSU linebackers for sure. I mean, it's hard to argue. He doesn't really have a clear flaw right now besides maybe over pursuing sometimes.
Talking about Devin, at the same time, Brody, it's a situation where Georgia is starting to figure out how to use both their quarterbacks and, you know, their different styles to be sure out there. But how much and how important is it for Devin White to really take responsibility of not letting, even though Jake Fromm, as we think of a guy who stays in the pocket, Jake Fromm's a guy who can get out and get you some yards on his legs, and we certainly know what Justin Fields could do. How much responsibility is going to be on White to really not let the Georgia quarterbacks get out and start making plays with their legs?
Yeah, he does a good amount of kind of spying in the backfield to make on those situations, but there's no doubt about it that the pass rush is right now the biggest issue of this LSU defense by a pretty wide margin, and Ed Ogeron has not shied away from calling that group out. I think 4 weeks in a row now, he's basically said it's not good enough, and a lot of that's just going to come down to you lose a guy like Caleb on Chase on an outside linebacker who could have been, you know, a top pass rusher. Now there's nobody really there to fill in who can pass rush as well, but also do the other things that you can keep him on the field for three downs. But no, Devin, and the unfortunate part of that, and you bring up Devin, is, you know, because of that, you don't have those great pass rushers that you have to start getting creative with who you're using there. So now Devin White's had to become one of the biggest pass rushers up the middle, which I do not think was always really a plan. And then you have, you know, Grant Delpit, like I said, leads the team in sacks. He was always going to pass rush, but he was never – now they have to rely on him, which is not something you really want out of your safety. So Devin White definitely is very responsible for that. You know, somebody who just kind of has to manage this whole defense. But the overall, that front four really needs to figure some stuff out and step that pass rush up.
Hey, Brody, this is the 3:30 game on CBS, and, I mean, I've been down in LSU at night, and it is just one of the best atmospheres in college football. But do you think it'll be a big – I mean – do you think that Georgia would have a better advantage playing at 3:30 than they did at 8 o'clock?
That's a really good question. I mean, there's probably a little bit of something to that. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be just like a small percentage less. But at the same time, I mean, LSU has been – my email is full of press releases about how basically trying to let fans know that you need to get there really early this week because they are expecting one of the most one of the largest just overall collections of human beings in Baton Rouge ever. And just in terms of the Georgia people, the LSU people, just how many, not even the ones just going in the game, but the ones who are just going to be there on campus. And so I do expect this to be a pretty insane crowd just by, you know, it was sold out by Monday, and, you know, and which isn't that common. And there will be a bit of a drop off because it's not a night game in Tiger Stadium, which Lord knows is one of the best environments you can be in. But I expect it to be pretty crazy. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, wrote that good piece, kind of comparing it to the 2003 game and kind of how crazy that one got as a 3:30 game. And I think this is a chance to be a similar environment.
On Twitter, at Brody A. Miller, he's the beat reporter for the LSU Tigers for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Brody, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Have fun this weekend there.
Thanks a lot, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. And now it's time for another code word.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Code word for this hour is MILK. M-I-L-K. It's your chance to win $1,000 in the national signing bonus contest. Code word for this hour is MILK.
MILK.
Take your vitamins, say your prayers, drink your milk.
Hulk Hogan didn't say that.
No, oh, but okay. Kurt Angle did.
Oh, all right.
Remember, Kurt Angle said to drink milk.
Kurt Angle. Oh, that's the Olympian dude, right?
You don't know who Kurt Angle?
I mean, yeah, I said the Olympic dude, right? With the bald head, right?
Now I'm throwing off, yes. Yeah. Ready? You got to let the music play as we're doing it. Ready? Ready, Mark? You got to say the line that goes with this. You suck. Kurt Angle is tremendous. Oh, he was so good. Code word for this hour is MILK. You've got until 11:59 Eastern time to text MILK to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. One more time. The code word for the National Signing Bonus Contest this hour is MILK, M-I-L-K. MILK, text that to 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules.
So, Kurt, oh, that's what I'm saying, the Olympic dude, right?
Yeah, yes. He won the Olympic medal here in Atlanta, 96.
Didn't he go through a stint where he used to walk around with a neck brace on?
Yeah, he did break his neck.
Okay, that's what. Okay, now I need to talk.
He broke. He broke his. Well, he's got. He had tons of injuries.
But right.
Yeah, he broke. We're breaking his neck. Of course, all those guys at some point. You know, they say, by the way, that if like most people walk around with a broken neck. You ever heard that before?
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, like you're like a lot of people have a broken neck but don't know it.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. It's not to the point where it's like pinching vertebrae or any sort of thing like that, but a lot of people have, especially athletes, have broken necks that they never know about.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Get a little factoid.
I appreciate that. I'm just, you know, now you have me maybe want to go get checked out, see if I have a broken neck.
Maybe. You might.
I might. You never know. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Hey.
Would explain a lot. Hey, college football fans, join 929 The Game. And John Michaels is coming Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. at Benchwarmer Sports Grill off Claremont Road for a Dixie Vodka viewing party to watch college football going on in Baton Rouge. Hang out with us and enjoy great Dixie Vodka drinks and delicious food at Benchwarmer Sports Grill. The watch party is presented by Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South. As Mark Owens, it is Georgia and LSU, as the great Max Howell would say. I don't know if Mark remembers Max Howell or not. He should, though. You remember Max Howell? I'll explain in the break. It's time to walk the dog. That Georgia LSU game coming up. I got a couple questions for Randy. Is the East over? We're going to talk about all that next. Sports Radio 929 The Game and
929 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. It is Rick and John, but it's Randy McMichael and John Chuck refilling in as Rick and John today are touring the new State Farm Arena. Hawks are having a couple of tours last couple of days for folks. Did Mark and Paul get invited?
No, they don't. No, I mean they really treat them bad. And I look at this; they're always at Twin Peaks and stuff. And they always leave Mark here. I mean, he can't go. I mean,
somebody's got to run the board, man.
I'm sure they got somebody. Well, no, they don't have.
Anybody. No, we don't have anybody left. Yeah, everybody's gone. That's why I'm here. Yeah. Ain't nobody left.
Yeah, but yeah, they get yeah. But I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a good time today. All the big wigs down there. Hugh has a dress up, so that's the funniest
picture
part.
Picture day.
That's the funniest part is listening to Hugh not want to dress up.
Well, Fricky was kind of salty too.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
was. But I'm sure he has a sports coat or something that he had at CNN or somewhere.
Probably he could probably run over CNN. They probably still got his old locker. Yeah,
they probably got
the retirees locker over there.
Yeah, so he's good. He's all right.
That's back when he had hair and everything.
Yeah, hair. And he could hear out that ear that you know when he has that. How did your headphones feel this morning when you put them in? Because you got to make sure you plug them in and outlet.
That's
too.
Why I why I plugged in four ones down.
When you went out the friggy.
You can hear Freaky's headphones from outside the studio.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. So it is time for the it is the dog walk, right? That's the official title. I want to make sure that you know we're not.
Yeah, that's the official title.
Okay.
Yeah, ask Mark Owens. He created it.
Okay. Just want to be sure. I don't want to feel Mark's bite and bark and whatever he's got going on. Anyway, is the East Division over?
No.
You don't think?
No.
You sure Kentucky and Florida got anything for Georgia right now?
It's not that I'm not sure they have. I just don't know what to expect in those games. And that's the thing about it. I think that going to Kentucky, you know, we know.
That was a heck of a game.
That was a great game. Yeah. Great game. But the thing going to Kentucky, do I think we'll be Kentucky? Yeah. But it's, you know, you just never know how stuff's going to happen up there. I mean, it's not an intimidating, you know, place to play or anything like that, but you just never know. The one in Florida, it's a rivalry game. And I think Florida's better than we're giving them credit for. I think they're better than people are giving them credit for. That was a great win. That's a big win for them last week. You know, and we just talked to Brody Miller and, you know, Burrow wasn't making mistakes, and he made that mistake and cost him the game. But I think Florida's better than you think. I think
Florida's secondary is back to
NFL first-round guys. Yeah,
those guys are – I mean, their safeties look out in 2 years. I mean, they've got a lot.
So I think they're better than people are giving them credit for. Do I think we'll win that game? Yeah, I do think that. But anything can happen. It's a rivalry game. You know how it is when you go down to Jacksonville. It's the atmosphere is – you know, it's unbelievable, and I think it's going to be better now when you consider how the Dogs are playing, and, you know, we're going to travel down there, and considering the fact that the Gators are pretty good. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, because last time I went down there, it was like the Florida fans were like, oh, we knew we were going to lose, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we knew we were going to lose. You know?
Heck, they should have lost last few years.
Yeah, but
games.
No, it's going to be a great game. But, no, I'm not going to go ahead and just say it's ultimately over and the Dogs out is wrapped up. Let's wait and see.
You're going to think I'm crazy.
I'm here.
I think
I already do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think the Florida game is more of a trip-up game than the Auburn game left after this week. I think Florida's more of a trip-up than Auburn.
I can agree with you.
I can agree with you.
You
know
that.
Where I stand about this whole Auburn thing. Yeah, I'm tired of Auburn.
You're tired of Auburn. You're not sold on Stidham. I guess
their offense was dreadful last week.
It was terrible. And, you know, that was a squad that, you know, we look at their team defensively. They got a national championship type defense.
Yeah, their front four is as good as it
but
gets.
But offensively, you talk about this a lot on our show. Is Stidham the right guy to run Gus's offense?
Right.
And I don't think he is.
He is if Cameron Artis Payne or Trey Mason is sitting in the backfield.
And that was another big thing, the issue we had. Who's going to be the runner this year? They always had great running backs. They don't have that this year. They don't have – they're relying too much on Stidham, him throwing the football around. I mean, you got Davis and those guys. They're good receivers. But the base of Gus's offense, they want to pound the football.
Do you think, as it's the dog walk here on Sports Radio 910 The Game, Randy McMichael and John Chuck are filling in for Rick and John today as they're down at the new State Farm Arena touring the new facilities? To me, outside of Notre Dame, is anybody else a threat to keep maybe a 12-1 SEC runner-up, Georgia or Alabama maybe, out of the playoff picture? I mean – I don't think if Oklahoma runs the table and wins the Big 12 with their loss at Texas, I still don't think they're getting in over a second ACC. Now, West Virginia runs the table undefeated.
Uh-huh. You got to put them in.
Then I think they're in.
Yeah, I think they're in.
Because I don't think – I think after this weekend, the Pac-12 I still think is on the outside looking in. And if Oregon beats Washington, the Pac-12's done.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because we talked about it earlier this year, JC. The game here against Auburn and Washington was so important for the Pac-12.
Yes.
It was so, so important for that. Just, not just Washington, that conference as a whole. And now you got a team where Oregon, that should have won the game against Stanford. We know that. Crystal Ball, great recruiter. That was just one of the dumbest moves ever. Take the knee and you're out of there with a win. So I just think they're automatically out. I think the Pac-12 is done.
You.
I think they're done. And it's a great story what's going on in Boulder, but miss me with Colorado. All right, it's a great story. Miss me with them.
Just keep your ears open on Saturday because there's going to be a pick in that game.
Yeah, just miss me with that. But but it's Oklahoma, though. You know what I'm saying? It's Oklahoma. So if you don't think that if Oklahoma wins the Big 12 championship, they're not one of the four teams?
If Georgia is 12-1 and their only loss is to Alabama
in the SEC championship game,
right, I still think they get in over Oklahoma.
I don't.
Because how's Georgia going to fall? Georgia is going to stay at two.
Yeah, at least. As long as we keep winning. It's just hard for me. It's hard for me to believe last year that you would leave out a Oklahoma team. Now, this is what I'm talking about. An Oklahoma team that's 11-1 and a Big 12 championship. You think they get left out by the loser of the SEC game?
This year, I think it could happen. I think Georgia's got – I think Georgia now
– got enough cachet to get in there?
Yep. Yeah.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to be right. I'm not ruling out the fact that we will beat Alabama. But let me tell you something. Ain't nobody beating Alabama right now. It's hard for me to say that somebody on a neutral field there that can beat that squad.
No, they have to beat themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Tua was 10-for-11 for 334 yards in the first half of that game.
That wasn't even fair last week.
It's just stupid.
You know, call a game. Yeah, just walk out there. All right, we know. We got you. Yeah, let's go home.
Let's beat traffic.
Well, I read somewhere today that Tua's got a sprained knee or something. So when the hell did that happen?
Can I give you two quick Georgia facts of the day?
I'm listening.
And I'll give these on Saturday. Mark Owens, do you know how long Georgia's trailed for this year?
No.
15 seconds. That was last week against Vanderbilt when they kicked the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 seconds later, they scored on the Godwin touchdown. So Georgia's only trailed 15 seconds the whole year.
They've done a great job of getting out in front, people. And the key to this game is there's going to be some adversity in this game. It is because there's going to be some adversity.
It's at LSU.
It's at LSU.
Yeah, they ain't rolling over and dying.
That's what I'm saying. So how will they bounce back from that? If you look at all the teams that are in top five, Georgia's the least talked about team,
right?
You know they are, rightfully
no
so.
Drama.
They have no drama. Yeah, exactly,
they've had no drama.
It's just been business as usual.
People want to stir up the quarterback thing. There's no drama.
Yeah,
there.
And I look at it as they can't play how they played in the quote unquote big games like they did against South Carolina, like they did against Missouri. They got to play a lot better because there's still things that you worry about. Kirby said it basically earlier this week. You have to knuckle up this game.
Yeah.
They're going to run the football. I mean, just like Brody Miller said, they can't pass protect too good. They're hoping that they can find a way to keep this game in third and medium.
Well, they have
and so they want to run the football.
They have to really commit to
yes.
not having to make plays in the passing game. And they have playmakers yeah. in the passing game, but they have. I got one more fact of the day for you. Mark Owens, if the Bulldogs win this week, what would their record be?
They'll be, what, 6-0?
Yeah.
No.
5-0.
No. They win this week. It's 7-0. Week 7.
And
okay.
Oh, yeah.
So they're 7-0.
Yeah.
What were they last year to start the year?
7-0.
Uh-huh. Do you know if they go 7-0 in back-to-back years, that's the first time in the history of Georgia football they will have started 7-0 in back-to-back years?
Really? Never knew that, John.
Do you like that one, Mark?
I like it, but it makes me nervous.
You're always nervous.
You're damn right.
Yeah, you're always nervous.
Can't look past LSU. You know what's next week? Can't look past the bye week either.
Man, stop.
Let me tell you who has become the fan favorite. That's going to definitely play a role in this game, is Rodrigo.
My man, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
My man, Lucas. Yeah, he's clutch.
And that's a big weapon for Georgia to have. I mean, that this is one of those weeks, Randy, when you're really glad that dude is on your side.
Yeah, I mean, he's and I make fun of him, but it's out of just fact that I'm a big fan of his. The kid, he just makes kick after kick after kick. I hope I'm not jinxing him this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, for dog fans, it's not going to be easy going down to Death Valley now. I'm just telling you, people are.
Of course not.
No. It's a different. No, it's not a night game, but it's still going to be rocking down there.
Absolutely.
And it's still going to be some adversity. And your favorite phrase is, you know, Burrow, he ain't seen nothing like this Georgia defense. Well, we ain't seen nothing like this. Them players that's right. on that LSU defense this year already, all right, they got some bona fide top 10 players, that are game breakers, that are game changers. These guys, they have the ability to change the outcome on defense. That's how good Devin White and Greedy are.
I keep asking you guys this question on Saturdays. Is Jake Fromm one of the most underrated players in the country?
He's awesome. He is, the place where he is struggling the most, John, is third and 9+. And I gave you that stat last week. He is struggling. That's where that's where his interceptions are.
Right.
That's where he had a fumble and all that. They have got to stay ahead of the chains also, because what I saw last week is Swift like he's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Swift like he's ready to go now.
He's seeing that Holyfield kid taking some lunch money.
And he looks like he's healthy. He looks like he's back to himself. And you saw last week them trying to feed him a little bit more. But also, he sees that Holyfield's toting that thing now. Mm-hmm. All right? And he's like, hey, I was supposed to be that dude this year.
Don't forget, too, you can interact with us on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. It's the college football cheat sheet coming up next, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. We'll talk about some of the big games. A couple of big ranked matchups outside of LSU and Georgia going on around the country as well. And we'll check out what's going on over here on the flats off of North Avenue.
Where?
Yeah, over at North Avenue over here. They're still playing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that next.
A football team that's beat up and dinged up just like every team in the conference is. You don't get through this conference without being a little sore and a little beat up. But I think that our tests are upcoming. I think we play some good football teams starting this week.
And of course,
Quitch.
Yep, I guess what's going to be in the highlights coming up next.
Quitch.
That is Kirby Smart, head coach. I'm going to slow down and talk slow now so I don't get four of these on there. The head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, coming back in. It is time for the college football cheat sheet. It's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Randy McMichael, John Shackley, in today on Rick and John as the guys are down at State Farm Arena checking things out, touring the Hawks soon-to-be new facility down there, the new and improved State Farm Arena, so everybody's going to be down there. I'm sure there'll be pics online on social media. By the way, social media, you can go at 929 The Game. Yeah, I said that, Paul. Screw you. I am the Georgia Rattlesnake. I'm not afraid to say it because we're told to say the station first. So at 929 The Game, at Rick and John.
Yeah, it's at Rick and John 929. That's what I was telling you before. Not
Rick
the fact
John,
that you didn't say 929.
Look at you, dude. Yeah, just
I would call you something else on the air, but I got in trouble last time I did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't want that. Yeah, he just knew you were just right. That's what he does when he swears he's right, he's going to do
but
it.
But he wasn't right.
He was all the way wrong. And I heard you when you said that. He said, say Rick and John 929.
Well, I was talking running a show when he said that.
Yeah. Whatever.
So at Rick and John 929. He's at Randy Mac 81. I'm at JamCH316. If you want to follow along on Twitter and be
a part of the program as always. So, Randy McMichael, as we get into week 7 already of the college football season, past the midway point now into this weekend, a couple of big national matchups that we've been talking about you have to keep your eyes on, especially for Georgia and the SEC, if we're talking about more than one team out of these conferences. Wisconsin-Michigan.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a physical
game.
Yeah, it's going to be like, what was that movie, Streets of New York or Gangs of New York or whatever like that. It's going to be just a street fight out there.
Oh, yeah. And this is the – because the nation hasn't seen eyes on Michigan since that Notre Dame game.
Right.
And they've won every game since then. I think Shea Patterson is finally getting comfortable in the system. I kept saying that maybe they need to adapt more of the offense to his skill set than to what, you know, putting him into a pro-style offense. He's more of a dual-threat type guy. They've done some similar things to that. But, yeah, he's been playing well. We know Michigan's defense, but they are. They're one of the best in the country, and they're going to get after you. And we know Wisconsin wants to – they want to run the football with Taylor. They want to go downhill with, you know, that big physical offensive line, which is supposed to be the best in the country. We didn't see that against BYU because BYU just beat them up. But, yeah, this is big time right here, man.
Yeah, we'll break all these games down, too, by the way, on our college football game. I'm going to plug it.
Go ahead.
College football game time from 9 to noon on Saturdays. We're not sponsored, so I just want to make sure we get that out there. Not sponsored, but we're on. I think this game, truthfully, is about which quarterback can not turn the football over but make a play at some point.
Correct.
Because we know what these teams want to do. I don't know that either defense is going to try to let you do what you want to do, and that's run the football.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be physical. Now, which quarterback do you trust more? Do you trust Shea or do you trust the veteran, Hornibrook?
That's a good question.
Because we said that, you know, coming into the season, can Hornibrook, because we know they were going to stack the box, stop Jonathan Taylor. Could Hornibrook make plays? And early in the year, maybe she plays.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we were all surprised by the Orange Bowl last year against Miami. Like, who is this guy?
4 touchdowns.
Yeah, like, who is this guy? So do you trust Shea Patterson or do you trust him more?
You know, I still don't buy either guy just yet.
Really?
I mean, I like Shea Patterson's talent and upside more than Hornibrook.
Uh-huh.
But Hornibrook's proven it in more big games.
Right.
That may be the only edge that I give them. By the way, that Molly Queerin, my goodness.
Stop looking at Jalen Lady.
Whew,
stop looking at Jalen Lady.
Are we on camera?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that's why I'm smiling. All right, so it's not just R.S. Andrews, it's Molly Queerin. The other big game nationally out west, and this is going to be a fun game. I've been looking forward to this game for weeks now. Washington goes into Outson Stadium. We've been talking about this game on our college football show for a few weeks about this is kind of the de facto Pac-12's, you know,
shot to get in.
Yeah, because, I mean, Oregon should have been undefeated, and I think Washington would have been better with Oregon undefeated coming into this game.
Correct.
Because if you get a win and your only loss is to – because Oregon's a pretty good team. But this is probably the two best quarterbacks right now in the Pac-12.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, is Oregon a good team or is Stanford not a good team?
I think Oregon is still better than Stanford.
You think Oregon is better than Stanford?
Yeah.
See, the thing with this game is Washington – Browning has not played well this year. Mm-hmm. He hasn't. He's not what – because you know what happened to sophomore year. They come all the way here. Last year was a setback. This year, he's just not what everybody – what I thought he should be. And I thought he should look like the best quarterback in the Pac-12. I mean, he does not. Herbert is that guy. We all know that. But, you know, Pettis – I mean, you lose all these weapons, Pettis, and you lose Ross and all these guys.
A lot of wide receivers.
And it just seemed like they haven't replaced that part of the game. They lack playmakers on that offensive side of the ball.
Has Miles Gaskin been as good as he should have been this year?
No. What are they doing with him? I mean, Gaskin, he's one of the best, you know, run-catch running backs in the nation. They're not throwing the football.
Yeah.
They're not allowing him to make plays. And that's the bad part about it. Defensively, they're solid. I mean, Washington's always going to have players on their defensive side of football, but it's all about offense. You know, they lose their left tackle. You know, all-world left tackle start the season out. That's a problem because they're getting more pressure from that side. But Brown is just not playing well.
Yeah, and I think I keep saying the underrated group in this game is Oregon's defense. And it's hard to measure sometimes these defenses out there because you play a Cal and they're going to go shotgun 5 wide
Correct.
For 75 snaps.
So it's deceiving.
Yes, yes. But they've been more physical. They've been a good run defense team. And that environment – they haven't had a game like this in there in a while, Randy. It's been a few years since they've had a game like this where big-time opponent.
Well, Stanford, can you say Stanford was that coming in, just coming into that game?
Probably, but I think now Washington – because I think the thing with Washington is that they were kind of the big favorite to win this conference, right? They went in as kind of the big favorite to win this conference.
Yeah.
You know, and here they come. You know, and I think that because I don't think I thought Stanford was I never looked at Stanford as a top 10 team. I know they got off to a top 10 start because of record, but I never really thought Stanford was a real top 10 team. I didn't trust their quarterback. I didn't think they were as good defensively, but, you know, they've been all right. But, I mean, you know, they got whipped last week and probably should have back-to-back losses.
Yes.
Or they got whipped, I should say, 2 weeks ago by Notre Dame.
Now, this to me, we always talk about the keys to the game. Which coach do you trust? I know which coach I trust.
I know which coach. Yeah.
I'm Peterson
that's
all day.
Obvious. That's obvious.
Crystal,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
When Crystal Ball gets in a similar situation like they're in, not necessarily taking a knee, what will he do? Because, you know, on our show, College Football Game Time, we had the play-by-play guy from Oregon on. He was just talking, oh, yeah, he's this. He's the charisma and all this. And he just, Chris Ball, he gave it away.
Yeah.
He took it away from his players.
Again, it's great to be Monday through, you know, or Sunday through Monday, but sometimes on Saturday you need your coach to make sure he makes a play. And then finally, Georgia Tech and Duke. And my question is, you know, is this that first big swing game? Because I think they're going to beat North Carolina. They will beat North Carolina.
Yes, they're horrible.
But you start talking about the rest of the way, because Va Tech, Miami, Georgia, with also a Virginia mixed in there. If they're talking about being a bowl team, then I think this is one of those games you got to find a way to get.
Why shouldn't they win this game? I don't know. Is Duke?
Because they don't play Duke well.
Is Duke still playing? Is the backup quarterback still in there? I mean, don't handle your business. I mean, build off of what happened last week. You know, that's the biggest thing when I talk about Tech is, which Tech team is it going to be? Because you said it in a rant you had one Saturday about this team. We know you're going to run for 400 yards. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got all that. That's going to happen. It seems like that's a given. Are you going to take care of the football? We know that if you get in a must-throw situation, it's not going to work. So stay out of that situation. But, I mean, the turnover is what gets me with Georgia Tech, is the carelessness of the turnovers in the opportune time. Because it seems like the turnovers come when they're up and they're driving in to – because, you know, Tech gets up three scores. It's hard to come back from that.
Right.
And it seems like they're going up and then disaster.
I will say I don't think they're going to get away with being 1-for-2 for 12 yards in this game this week.
That's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to get that lucky where their quarterback only has to do all that. But
how bad is Louisville? Goodness gracious.
They're dreadful. They're really bad.
Goodness.
They put 542 up in the running game against them.
Right.
Yeah. That was personal, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of that going on out there. All right, when we get back, it's time for around the 404. We'll look at the Hawks and some more Falcons talk for you. Freddie McMichael, John Chuck, we're in for Rick and John at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.